Our reading this evening is from Romans chapter 14, which you can find on page 948 in your pew Bibles. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As for the one who is weak in faith, well, that person exists. There are those who are weak in faith. This differentiation exists. But just as there might be some who are stronger or weaker physically, there are within the church always going to be those who are stronger or weaker in faith. And that's essential for us to remember for a handful of reasons, not the least of which being that we are not all where we ought to be. We are always growing up from milk to solid food, growing up in Christ, attaining to the higher calling, the upward calling that is for us in Christ Jesus. And so there is weakness and there is strength. There's a difference. And the one is better than the other. Strong faith is better than weak faith. And that answers the question of what we should do. What we should do with weak faith. What you do with weakness really depends on your setting. It depends on your context. It depends on whether you are enemies or friends, whether you are strangers or family, whether you are opponents or on the same team. So think about having an opponent who is weak. What do you do with his weakness? Well, you crush him. If you're stronger than him, you lay him low. If he is weak, you rejoice in his weakness and you use it to your advantage. That is if you are opponents, or if you are enemies. Maybe if you're strangers, you'll just ignore someone's weakness. It is what it is. Like that priest and that Levite who saw the weakness of the man lying on the side of the road, they didn't make it worse. They just left him there in his weakness. If you are enemies, or if you are opponents, or even if you are strangers, then weakness is just going to stay put. It's just going to remain weakness, and you might make it worse. But if you are friends, or if you are family, or if you are on the same team, then what do you do with weakness? Well, you try to strengthen it. You try to draw it along, build it up. You try to help and support and encourage. You take the one who is weak, and you make him stronger. Because you are only as good as the sum of your parts. And so, although you might be strong, if he is weak, together, what are you? Together, you ought to grow strong. Together, the weak one ought to be brought alongside you and built up alongside you. What you do with the weak depends on the context. And St. Paul is talking about the context of the church, where we are not enemies, we are not opponents, and we are not strangers, but we are friends and family, and we are on the same team. Now, you can also look at things from the other side. What do the weak think about the strong? Well, it's just the same story, isn't it? It depends. It depends on if you are on the same team or not. If you are weak and you see someone on the other side who is strong, what are you going to do? You're going to avoid him. You're going to stay away. You're going to know that you'll be bested. You're going to know that this is not good news for you. If you are weak, you despise the one who is strong if he's an opponent, if he is an enemy. Whereas if he's a friend or if he's on the same team, for the one who is weak, the strong one, that's a help. That's where you want to be. You want to go to him and learn from him and be built up by him. It all depends, doesn't it? It depends on the context. And once again, St. Paul wants you to know what your context is. You are friends and family. You are on the same team. And that's why he says, here's what you do with the one who is weak in the faith. You welcome him. You welcome him. You don't say, first, you must be strong to be among us. You don't say, first, you must deal with your weaknesses. You must get rid of them. No, you welcome him. And Paul puts a point on it. He makes it even clearer. You welcome him not to quarrel over opinions. Now, he doesn't mean opinions in the way that we most often do, matters of just kind of personal preference. I like the Vikings, you like the Packers, I like this color, you like that color. We're not talking about those kinds of opinions. We're talking about things that actually do matter and things in which there is a right and a wrong. So the first example St. Paul uses is the matter of food. He says one person thinks that he can eat anything, and the weaker person thinks that he should only eat vegetables. He's not knocking on vegetarians. He's talking about the Old Testament law concerning foods. The Old Testament law concerning foods said that there are certain foods that are unclean, certain animals that you can't slaughter and kill because they're unclean, like a pig, for instance. In the Old Testament, no pork. Pigs have cloven hooves, but they don't chew the cud, therefore they are unclean. A lamb, sure. A goat, sure. A cow, but not a pig. Pigs are unclean animals. In order to protect themselves from eating unclean animals, some Jews may have avoided eating meat altogether. I don't want to risk it. I don't want to risk accidentally putting unclean meat in my mouth, and so I'm not going to eat any meat at all. I'm just going to eat vegetables. Now, when Jesus came along, he made it clear, and St. Mark tells us explicitly, Jesus made it clear that in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, now that he has come and fulfilled the law, all foods are clean. He says to his disciples and the Pharisees, he says, it's not what you put into your mouth that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you unclean. For out of the heart comes all kinds of wickedness. And St. Mark comments on that. He says, thus Jesus declared all food clean. And that point was confirmed when St. Peter saw that great sheet let down from heaven with all kinds of animals in it. And the Lord said to Peter in this vision, he said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter objected to God and said, no, I've never let anything unclean come into my mouth. And God said to Peter, do not call unclean what I have made clean. Thus making it clear that there's no distinction among foods in the New Testament. Those laws were for a time. They were like a schoolmaster for a child, but now we are grown up. And so there's no distinction. But you can imagine that if you were a Jew and you had your whole life long been very concerned about never eating unclean meat, so concerned, in fact, that you didn't eat any meat at all, you can imagine that this news that now not only is lamb and goat and beef okay, but you can even eat pig, you can imagine how shocking that would be, how hard that would be to hear, how hard it would be to give up this old habit. Now, that's not just a matter of personal preference or opinion. There's a right and a wrong there. You don't have to be a vegetarian. You don't have to avoid eating meat. You can eat any meat. In fact, St. Paul says, look, you can even eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. What difference does it make? It's all clean. What matters is that you don't hurt your brother by your eating. But the one who thinks that he should only eat vegetables, he's the weaker brother. He's the weaker brother, and you should welcome him not to quarrel over his opinions. Which means that you shouldn't welcome him and say, by the way, we got to deal with this fact that you're only eating vegetables. You should just let him be. That's what St. Paul says. Yeah, he's wrong. And he's weaker. But you should welcome him. You should not quarrel with him. You should not judge him. You should not say, hey, unless you get rid of this opinion, unless you change your mind about this, you don't fit in. You don't belong. No, St. Paul says, no, welcome him. The same thing goes for days. So St. Paul talks about the calendar, which was for the people of Israel especially important. There were holy days, festival days, days that needed to be regarded, some as better than another. Well, Jesus comes along, and now he's fulfilled all of the holy days and also the Sabbath. Imagine being a Jew who never, from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, never worked, never did anything. And now Jesus comes along, and he's healing on the Sabbath, and he's doing good deeds on the Sabbath. And then he says the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, which means that it's been fulfilled in Jesus, and now you can do really what you want on Saturday, and you won't be a Sabbath breaker. Imagine that you had never, ever in your life ever considered that, and so you say to yourself, look, this day is holy, and I just need to keep it that way. I need to regard it as special. Well, you're wrong. You're weaker. And the one who says, no, Saturday is not a special day, let's go to church on Sunday, St. Paul says he's stronger. But he shouldn't lord it over the weaker guy. Just let him be. Just don't judge him. Don't condemn him. Don't make demands of a slave of somebody else's. Don't make demands of a slave who belongs to a master. You're not his master. The Lord is. He has to give an account for everything, all of his thoughts, all of his actions, all of his deeds. He has to give an account for those things. And so let him. If he is convinced that it is better for him not to eat meat, if he is convinced that it is better for him not to work on Saturday, so be it. Let it be. Now, of course, it's a very different matter, and St. Paul also makes this clear. It's a very different matter if what we're talking about is sin. So if he is convinced that it is okay to murder, well, that's clearly wrong. That's not a matter of weakness. That's a matter of rebellion against God's word. That's not a matter of a conscience that is soft and that needs to be brought along gently. That's a matter of hard-heartedness and having a stiff neck. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what it's like for somebody who had been living a certain way, listening to God's word, and now has to learn a new way, and it's difficult. Because we're all weak. God knows the condition of our flesh. And that's why he says what matters really in these opinions, what matters is that each one be fully convinced in his own heart and give thanks to God. That's the test. Are you making this decision? Are you behaving in this way because you trust in God? Is it by faith? Do you give thanks to God? Now, it's a little bit difficult for us to grasp this because we don't have too many things in our day that are like these kinds of differences. Some examples that are commonly used are things like alcohol, for instance. It's not a sin to drink alcohol. But you can imagine a weaker brother who has had bad experiences with alcohol, maybe grew up in a home with somebody who was an alcoholic, and so thinks to himself, alcohol is terrible, I want nothing to do with it. Don't say to that poor fellow, no, you have to drink alcohol because God says it's okay. And don't drink in front of him and put it in his face and make him scandalized because of your strength, because you know that alcohol is not sinful. That's what St. Paul is talking about. Don't put a stumbling block in your brother's way. I think we saw some of this vividly during all of the various thoughts about what to do about COVID. Should you get a shot or not get a shot? Should you wear a mask or not wear a mask? I suspect there's a right and a wrong answer to each of those things, but I don't care. What I care about is that you don't judge your brother for the conviction that he has about what he should do
in service to God and his neighbor. Whether he gets a shot or doesn't get a shot, whether he wears a mask or doesn't wear a mask, wouldn't it have been good if we had remembered at that time what St. Paul says now in Romans 14, do not pass judgment. If you really are the stronger one, if you are the one who has the correct opinion, what are you supposed to do for your brother who is weaker? Welcome him, and not to quarrel over opinions. You can see how in all of these things, think back to the picture that we've been working with in Romans about the move from a courtroom into your father's house. There you were in the courtroom, the judge was going to find you guilty, someone took your place, and all of a sudden the scene has changed and you're in a home. You can see how these behaviors, these matters of judgment, matters of holding someone's weakness against them, you can see how these are kind of a legacy of those old courtroom habits. That's what it amounts to, isn't it? When we see someone who is weaker and we want to lord it over them or want to fix them, we want to solve all of their problems, we want to correct their mistaken ideas. When we think that way, we think that we're back in that courtroom and that what matters is that you have the right opinions about everything. No, not in the least. What matters is that you trust in the Father who has saved you from all of your wrong opinions and better has saved you from the sin which damns you to hell. If that's the condition we're in, that we have such a loving Heavenly Father and we are safe and secure in his home, then we can tolerate all kinds of weakness. After all, what does our Heavenly Father done for us but be patient and kind and forbearing, putting up with us, not just in our weakness, but even in our rebellion, in our sinful pride? And he will put up with us in our weakness till the day that we die, because what is he doing for each and every one of his children? But he is making them strong. He's pouring out his Spirit on them. How does he do that? Well, he in fact does it in this very way. When you welcome the weaker brother, when you welcome him, not to quarrel over opinions, not to pass judgment, but to help him to see that when he gives an account before God, what matters is that Christ is the one who stands in his place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.